You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Welcome on a Thursday. Had a whole series of interesting discussions about George Custer. It's amazing, honestly. It's amazing how many people grew up either fascinated by him or having a piece of art hanging in their house that was devoted to him. And so, interesting. Interesting. What I'll do is I'll see if I can get some kind of Custer scholar on to do a second segment on that. I was texting with somebody this morning, and my own personal opinion, having read a lot about him, and in particular, not so much his personality, but you can't help but read about his personality when you read about him, but more his history as a commander and a cavalry leader. And he was true to form at Little Bighorn. And again, in looking at this, I developed a class years ago that you're going to get today in the second hour called The Decision. And it... The decision is about, I'll tell you how it came about. It's very similar to how, how post-traumatic winning came about. the decision comes about. I'm a captain at the basic school. I've been in the Marine Corps. It's 1989 when I get there, the spring of 1989. I get to the basic school. And let's see. By the spring of... Yeah, so I teach, you know, I'm a tactics instructor at the basic school. That's what I do. So, I had been a Marine officer for 6 years. And the Marine Corps I joined, I mean, you were dumb till they told you you were smart. That was it. The way you get promoted, find out what your commanding officer wants and give that to him. That's literally verbatim the way it was taught. Okay, you want to be successful? Find out what your CO wants and give that to him. Aye, aye, got it. So, I go back to teach, and I'm, you know, and you're constantly walking behind and among lieutenants in the woods of the Prince William Forest, which make up the training areas. And let me tell you, it's a great place to train because of the variety of vegetation depending on the time of the year and the terrain. The terrain, if you learn to navigate in Quantico, you can navigate anywhere in the world because it is a jumble of fingers. So you learn really good navigation skills. Is it this stream or is it that stream? And you learn how to make sense of it all. It's not easy, though, because it all looks the same. So anyway, you're out there walking behind these guys. And girls on occasion, although there weren't many when I was there. So, whether you're patrolling and go bump into the bad guys, or whether you're doing a movement to contact, which is kind of an uncertain situation, so you're moving towards them, but it's not a deliberate attack because you don't know exactly what's out there. It's called a movement to contact, or whether you're doing a deliberate attack. You're walking with them, and then they go bump. And then there was this period where they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to do it. And so I watched it over and over and over. And then I started reading some stuff about decision making. I don't know what first kind of got me into reading about it. But I start reading things like The Teaching of Thinking by a guy named Nickerson, who's a Harvard guy. Yeah, this is a funny conversation. Nickerson, Harvard. The Teaching, I have the book in the garage, I think. I'm thinking. Maybe I saw it. There you have it. Ray Nickerson. So he's at Harvard, so I call him. I tell him who I am. I'm a captain of the Marine Corps. I'm looking at decision making. Do you have time to talk to me? He said, sure. He said, what do you do in the Marine Corps? I said, I'm an infantry officer. He said, really? And I said, yeah. He said, interesting. He said, how'd you find me? I said, I saw your book as a footnote, and I can't remember what article I was reading. Do you think that you can teach thinking skills in a compressed time, high stress situation? He said, well, you know, when we teach thinking skills and we talk compressed time, we're talking 90 days for an organization like GM. He said, so, I mean, what time horizon? I said, sometimes seconds. He said, oh, man. And he said, and under duress? I said, yeah. He said, we haven't gone there. So I would hesitate to give you any advice. I'd love to stay plugged into you, though. I'd be curious what you find. He said, Marines are interested in this. I said, yeah, we're not as dumb as everybody wants to believe. He started laughing. He said, I had a number of conversations. So I have this thing in my head. I go over to IOC a year later to teach at the infantry officer course. General Kelly is the chief of staff, is the group chief there. He's now the chief of staff in the White House. Once again, on his way out. Who knows? So I walk in and I said, "Hey, sir, I have an idea for a class, and I'd like to pitch it to you." And he said, "Yeah, sit down, Mac." So we sit down and talk, and he said, "You know, I think we kind of, in our critiques and the way we talk, I think we cover that." I said, "Okay." So I left, and 2 months later, John Allen shows up, and 2 months and maybe one day later, I go into Allen's office, and I said, "Hey, sir, I have an idea for a class." And he looks at me, and he says, "Mac, I think that's a great idea. In fact, it falls in line perfectly with something I'm thinking about, which is the human factors in decision-making, the human factors that a leader experiences." So John Allen and I kind of embarked on this tandem thing that we taught. The first class that lieutenants received was called The Decision, the role of the leader on the battlefield. And that's why you're there. You're the person who decides. You're not the squad leader, make it work guy. You are the leader, right? You're the yes or no guy. You're the go that way guy. You're that person. So what prepares you for that? And we, to my knowledge, it was the first class dedicated to decision making ever taught in the Marine Corps. Now, I'm not talking about staff planning process, but we're going to examine decision making, how you're impacted by what you see, what you smell on the battlefield, because this is the realm in which you'll live. So I'm going to give you that class today. And the reason I'm going to give it to you is because the way I look at Custer is colored by that class and what I learned teaching, researching and teaching that class. And so I think you'll find it interesting. So you'll get, I love teaching it too. The Decision, the role of leaders on the battlefield. And best of all, I'm looking at a print that one of the great listeners of the program, Ohio Man, sent me. And it comes from the guy who's on the front. He's on the front placard of the class. And his name is Strong Vincent. That's right. He's from Pennsylvania. Yeah, you're like, who? Strong Vincent. Look him up. Yeah. First name Strong. Strong. Last name Vincent. He is truly the savior of Little Round Top. What? What about Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain? Yeah, Chamberlain, he did good that day. But none of it takes place without Vincent. And so so you'll learn about Strong Vincent a little bit today, if you haven't heard me talk about him before. And I have spoken about him before. So you'll hear about him. That's right. So I developed this class in 1990. I taught it in 1990, 1991 at IOC, and all kinds of guys that are generals and colonels now. Well, more colonels than generals, but got this class, and it would be very cool. Years later, they would come up and say, "Hey, so remember that class you taught?" I'd say, "Yeah, I remember it." And they'd say, "That was." I look back, and I didn't get a class like that when I was a captain. Or that's right, you didn't. Come on. So, cool stuff. So you'll get that class today. Two things I want to talk about today. One, now I'm not one to celebrate misfortune on somebody else's behalf, but Michael Avenatti, really? So yesterday, I minded my business. Actually, a couple battle buddies came over last night from Afghanistan. Rudy came over, and another friend of ours, John Carson, who's a pilot, who did a lot of work in civil affairs when we were in Afghanistan. And Kit's a great dude. And so had steak. And, you know, I should put I will put one of the greatest recipes you will ever consume. That's right. I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. Corporal Punishment Kathleen, you all know her. She went to a restaurant in Sacramento, California, when I was growing up, and it was called AJ Bumps. And they made this carrot casserole. Kathleen ultimately asked for the recipe, and they gave it to her. So I will share that with you because I teed it up last night, and Rudy's a foodie, just so you know. Rudy is a foodie. So, and it goes, it tastes absolutely positively delicious with steak for some reason. The chef will gush over it tomorrow. And he'll talk about it having it with steak in a bag. And you should have heard that. Like a train wreck going on. Anyway, so I will share that with you today. I'll put it up. And so if you're going to grill steak in the near future, this will take you maybe an hour to get ready. That's total time. Can anybody tell me the reason that you peel carrots? Right? That's purely cosmetic, right? What's the reason to peel a carrot if you're going to boil it? Yeah, I pondered that last night and then didn't peel them. So, yeah, what's the point? I don't really understand it. So, anyway, I digress. Yeah, so John Carson, Kit, as he's known, call sign Kit, he's an F-18 guy, along with Rudolph, who everybody knows, he's an F-18 guy, and they came over and we had dinner. We had steak, carrot casserole, what else? And salad. Little guacamole. Kit said, "You don't get guacamole like this in Georgia." I said, "Well, there's one thing California has going on." And then Rudy started talking about, "Oh, California guacamole." I said, "Shut up, man. All you do is ruin California when Musselman, who's lived most of his life in California, tries to get, you know, all of a sudden he becomes like a native Texan." Yeah. I said, "So shut up with that stuff." But we had a great time. We had a great time. So, but anyway, back to, so I'm running around kind of, I'm buying food. I had to buy charcoal, bought an electrical charcoal starter made for my grill. Kind of got got that circle at the end and it's done at an angle, blah, 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 blah. Hold on, Jerry Brown's talking.
Cut red tape, go overcome some regulations and other kind of laws that get in our way because we have to clean up the debris, bind up our wounds, and get with tomorrow.
Yeah, right. How did this happen? What planning and zoning people thought this was a good idea. Anyway, they'll get to that, right? I'm sorry, how does this happen? In an age, the way we communicate, how does, how do, and according to my people that are up there, my peeps, according to my sources that are up there, that death toll is going to get close to 200. People that burn to death. How does that happen? Anyway. So, in the midst of me doing all that stuff, getting charcoal, getting my new starter, going to the store, blah, 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 blah. Newsflash, AP. Michael Avenatti has been arrested on charges of domestic violence. Now, again. So, here's the article from this morning. He was released last night, evidently. Outside the L.A. County jailhouse Wednesday night, celebrity lawyer Michael Avenatti found himself doing something he's been coaching clients to do for years, delivering a statement confidently declaring his innocence, predicting his exoneration after a full investigation, and framing himself as the target of intimidation. To add to the irony, after several months of presenting himself as the hard-hitting defender of abused women, he found it necessary to tell reporters that he has never struck a woman and never will strike a woman. On Wednesday, the entertainment news gossip site TMZ reported that Avenatti had been arrested on suspicion of felony domestic violence charges, a report soon confirmed by the Los Angeles Police Department. Quote, we can confirm that today LAPD detectives arrested Michael Avenatti on suspicion of domestic violence, the department said in an initial statement. We can confirm that Avenatti was booked this afternoon on a felony domestic violence charge, then it adds the code. His bail is set at $50,000. According to law enforcement sources, TMZ has a pretty good record in all of this stuff, right? And it's sad how many stories when you, in retrospect, TMZ and the National Enquirer break. But it is what it is. According to sources, the accuser's face was swollen and bruised. She had red marks on both cheeks. Our sources say the alleged incident occurred Tuesday night, but there was another confrontation Wednesday between the two at an exclusive apartment building in the Century City area of Los Angeles. Century City, pretty nice. We're told Wednesday afternoon the woman was on the sidewalk on her cell phone with sunglasses covering her eyes, sobbing and screaming on the phone. I can't believe you did this to me. I'm going to get a restraining order against you. After security brought her back inside the building and escorted her upstairs, TMZ reported Avenatti appeared about 5 minutes later, ran into the building, screaming, she hit me first, this is bullshit, this is fucking bullshit. The LAPD has already obtained an emergency protective order prohibiting Avenatti from going near the victim. Upon posting bail Wednesday night, Avenatti got in front of cameras and gave an uncharacteristically very brief and very succinct statement asserting his innocence. So, I guess justice will prevail in whatever form. Here is Mr. Avenatti in his own words.
I'm going to make this very brief and very succinct. First of all, I want to thank the hardworking men and women of the LAPD for their professionalism and their work today. They had no option in light of the allegations. Secondly, I have never struck a woman. I never will strike a woman. I have been an advocate for women's rights my entire career, and I'm going to continue to be an advocate. I am not going to be intimidated from stopping what I am doing. I am a father to two beautiful, smart daughters. I would never disrespect them by touching a woman inappropriately or striking a woman. I am looking forward to a full investigation, at which point I am confident that I will be fully exonerated. I also want to thank everyone for their support that has reached out. You know my character. You know me as a man, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Michael Avenatti last night. You know my character. Anyway, that guy's a train wreck. If you look at his history as and he may be innocent of this, who knows? I just thought it ironic. The other story is, does the president have the right to say, I don't want that person at my press conferences? Does the White House have the right to say, based on that person's conduct, we no longer want him here. Send somebody else. Or do journalists have the right to cover the White House and act the way that dude acts, Jim Acosta? Is that his right? I don't think it is. But a court's going to rule on that today. Court's going to rule on that. According to a court filing by the Justice Department on Wednesday, White House lawyers say the president and his aides are the sole arbiters of who gets into the White House. The president and the White House possess the same broad discretion to regulate access to the White House for journalists and other members of the public that they possess to select which journalists receive interviews or which journalists they acknowledge at a press conference. That broad discretion necessarily includes discretion over which journalists receive on-demand access to the White House grounds and special access during White House travel for the purpose of asking questions of the president or his staff. No journalist has a First Amendment right to enter the White House, the filing said. CNN argues. The wrongful revocation of these credentials violates CNN and Acosta's First Amendment right to freedom of the press and the Fifth Amendment rights of due process, CNN said in a press release on Tuesday. We have asked the court for an immediate restraining order requiring the pass be returned to Jim and will seek permanent relief as part of the process. That, to me, is part of his First Amendment right. They're not denying him his First Amendment right. He has the freedom of speech. He has the freedom of press. He can practice that from anywhere. It doesn't mean that I go anywhere I want with impunity. I'd be shocked. If the court decides that, I'll be shocked. And the Fifth Amendment right to due process, he's not being convicted of a crime. And nobody's restricting CNN's ability to cover the White House. They're just saying send somebody else. I don't know. It blows me away. You know, those, and again, one of my pet peeves in life, if you want to see Mac go ballistic, seriously, if you want to get a reaction from me, be disrespectful. Yep. And to me, that's what Acosta is. But let me just tell you this. He can stand up and right, ask any disrespectful question he wants. And if the president's stupid enough to call on him on a regular basis, then that's the president's stupidity. I wouldn't call on him. If the court restores his pass and he's allowed, I wouldn't call on that guy ever. Yeah. What's next? You're going to sue me because I don't call on you, saying I've restrained your right of freedom of the press? You have a constitutional right to not only be in the press conference, but to be called on? Get out of here with that garbage. So it'll be interesting. The ruling's supposed to happen sometime today. But if you watch him, and again, people watch his video, and the president moves on. If you're going to be a member, the president of the United States says, next question. And then he has to come back, you're done. And because he has the microphone, he won't give it up. The girl grabs it. Like, what did she try, three different times to get the microphone for him? Because here's what that intern knows. If I don't get this microphone, my ass is done. My ass is done here as an intern. I wish he would have shoved him and, like, knocked him into his chair and then grabbed the microphone. Give me that shit. Yeah, how about, that would have been awesome. So anyway, that's supposed to happen today. And again, his questions, right, are his. But not giving up the microphone and attempting to debate the president, how does anybody who watches it, and I don't, even if you're pro Jim Acosta, right? It's a press conference. It's not Jim Acosta debates the president. That's not what it is. Ask a question, president answers it. Like, this is like bizarro world, in my opinion. That's what a press conference is. Love to see somebody try that with the Secretary of Defense. All right. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens today. I was looking for some kind of intellectual discussion about that. Couldn't find one. Couldn't find some, again, where's Tim Russert when I need him? Where is the McNeil Lear Hour when I need it? Here's another article. This is from BuzzFeed. The Justice Department says Trump can kick every reporter out of the White House whenever he wants. A federal judge heard arguments Wednesday on CNN's challenge to the revocation of reporter Jim Acosta's White House hard pass. The judge said he will rule on Thursday. A Justice Department official argued Wednesday the president has complete discretion. Blah, 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 blah. U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly asked Justice Department Deputy Assistant Attorney General James Burnham if the White House could revoke a reporter's press pass because they didn't like their reporting. Burnham said yes. If the president wanted to exclude all reporters from the White House, Burnham said, he could do that too. This is an inherently discretionary decision, he said. Kelly asked Burnham who made the initial decision to take away Acosta's pass. Burnham said that it was not clear from the record. He said that at a minimum, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders made the decision per a statement released by the White House, and the president affirmed it the next day. CNN's lawyer, Ted Boutrous, argued that the lack of clarity on who made the decision underscores the lack of due process afforded to Acosta. Due process... Unbelievable. Attempting to layer on to an issue rights that somebody doesn't have. Burnham acknowledged that he wasn't aware of any other White House reporter who had lost their credential in this way, but said that just because other presidents handled press access a certain way did not mean Trump was bound to do so. Kelly asked if it mattered if there were written standards governing these sorts of decisions. Burnham said no. So anyway, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I cannot fathom that the White House does not have, and again, I said this yesterday, but, you know, the White House is stupid by handing that microphone around. Get a boom mic. Get some sound people, have them stroll over and drop the boom mic in front of them. When the president says we move on, we move on. Right? And don't ever call on that guy again. Ever. There's consequences in life. So anyway. All right. So, and then, so we'll check news headlines. Gunner's going to join us. And then, I'll do my class and then the Gunner's going to join us. So, anywho. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Then we get to hear, Sergeant Major Canley. I love that, man. I know John Kennedy's not at so many points. Hey, Mac, John Kennedy's not. Yeah, he got fired. He's a politician. When we get better content, who are the first people to go? The politicians. And at some point, there will only be Marines in that thing. And maybe a couple others. But for the most part, all Marine radio opening should be full of Marines. Now, Kennedy was a sailor, so we're okay with that. But I've never really, really made peace with, was that just a line in a speech? Remember, it wasn't a campaign speech. When he was out looking for votes saying, remember, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. To which, like, the people gathered with said, what do you say? Like, what the hell does that mean? It's an inauguration speech, which means it's boilerplate. That's right. All right. So, United States Marine Corps band makes this official. All Marine Radio says, good morning to you. Oops, hold on. Damn it, I have to do this again. All Marine Radio says, good morning to you. Dedicated to battle buddies, right? I got together with two of mine last night, and honestly, it's the warmest place you go, hanging out with veterans, hanging out with battle buddies, in particular, you know, people that you've served with. So this is dedicated to that. And hopefully, whoever you are, wherever you are, don't take too long between gatherings, whether it be for lunch or for dinner like I did last night with your battle buddies, because honestly, it's awesome. It's good for your brain. It's good for your soul. Tends to be good for your stomach, too. So this is dedicated to battle buddies, getting together with them. Make sure you put that on your calendar. And even if you don't have any battle buddies, right, get together with your besties.
Our flag comes first to America. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speed. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I love Jack Riley. He speaks Alabama. Well, goodness, Mike. Two words. I love that. Now, you know what? It is the bounty of the interviews, you know, that you listen to all that stuff, right, over the course of 2.5 years. And it's awesome stuff. The weather. On the East Coast, it's cold. At least it is in Virginia. It is cloudy, rainy, and 35 degrees. Exactly. 35 degrees at this time means it's going to get cold. They have 3 weather warnings, so you know that we have to check into that. Flood watch for Northern Virginia. Yeah, go figure, huh? A winter weather advisory, so that means it's going to get snowy, and a small craft advisory, which seems to be a constant on the Chesapeake Bay. Is that what that is? And the Potomac River. All right. It is Camp Lejeune. It's got 3 weather warnings. What the hell, man? What is going on today? Cloudy, raining in Camp Lejeune. There's a special marine warning. There's a flash flood watch and gale warning. So wind and rain at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas, partly sunny in 47. 29 Palms, sunny in 53. Pendleton, cloudy in 49. No wonder I've got a blanket on here. It is dark, cloudy, 73 in Okinawa. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark, cloudy, and 64. That temperature reading comes from Ramadi, Iraq, one of the towns that was absolutely annihilated by years of war. And then in Afghanistan, in the Marja Lashkargah area, it is central Helmand province. It is, for those of you who know, it is dark, cloudy, and 58 degrees. And at the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, California, right next to Newport Beach, but not nearly as swanky, which is why I'm living here. Partly cloudy and 53 degrees. The wind chill sitting at 53. Looking for a high today of 77 and a low overnight of 54. 72 tomorrow, 69, as the Santa Ana winds have departed the area. Today winds will be out of the southwest at 8 miles an hour. California beginning to recover from the dry conditions and wind that sparked the fires that have been so prominent in the news. We will take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen got in trouble this morning. Yeah, like legit trouble. Her mother doesn't like it that she messes with her phone at night. So she's supposed to, like, turn it in. So I went in. I went to bed early last night. I was tired. I said, put your phone in here. Okay, Dad. Never made it. Okay, just so you know, that's not how the program works. And if you think that's how the program works, you're going to get your shit yoked up in this house. What does that mean? You'll find out. Yeah, I had a conversation with P. Davis last night. Yeah. So, Rudy's here. I'm cooking. He fires up his phone. All of a sudden, Peyton Davis pops up. Hey! Hey, girlfriend, you're on my shit list. So, she's endeavoring to come off the shit list. She's not there yet. She's supposed to come on and talk about it. We had a conversation about... she lost her father to suicide, right? When people know that, and the subject of fathers and this, that, or other thing, you're not included in the conversation, right? Because people don't know if they should go there. So she's supposed to come on and tell us, what do we do? So, yeah, she got wire brushed a little bit last night. It's good for her. After all, she was in Army ROTC, right? We all know it ain't the same. So, a moderate amount of hazing and abuse is required. Oh my God. Fox News is reporting that the New Jersey couple that raised the $400,000 and the homeless dude that said he was a veteran invented the scam. It's all... Oh my God, how about that? Remember when I told you everything you see on TV is bullshit? I'm I'm not saying that I'm a genius, but I ain't stupid. 402,000 dollars they raised in that GoFundMe shit, and they kept it all. And he didn't get enough, so he said that they screwed him, which started the investigation. He wanted more money. I want my money. All right, let's do a few news headlines, and I'm going to teach a class here. A Marine veteran banned from Disney World for flashing Trump 2020 sign on Splash Mountain. So what happens is he holds a sign up because they take a picture, and then you can buy the picture. Yeah. Donnie, a Make America Great Again hat. Dion Cini, C-I-N-I, Cini, lifted the Trump 2020 sign high over his head as the giant hollowed log plunged into the watery depths where they take the picture. The incident was the second Disney World political stunt for Cini, who weeks ago unfurled a similar giant banner at the Magic Kingdom. Cini also claimed responsibility for hanging a banner at Yankee Stadium in July and flashing it once more during a Broadway rendition of Disney's film Frozen. Let it go. Anyway, you know what? Disney has every right to ban him. Right, you want to go around, you want to do your world tour with your sign and make political statements and play at places that are designed to be happy, then, to me, Disney has the same right the president has. Acosta gets booted, Cini gets booted. I don't care if you're a veteran or not. Secretary of Defense was down on the border yesterday. Troops to stop using the term secure at border locations. Okay. Because the active duty troops down there aren't securing anything. They're supporting. Without even reading, right, the article, it's a terminology issue. Secure has a very specific meaning in the military. In interviews with reporters traveling with him and during an on-the-ground visit to Camp Donna near McAllen, Texas, where Tim Lynch lives, DHS Secretary Kirsten Nielsen, evidently for not too much longer, Mattis talked about the mission's sensitivities, namely the forces are deployed on U.S. soil and how that has changed a few of the ways they operate. In one example, Mattis said on Wednesday morning he instructed the border forces to stop using the term secure a certain location. Secure in military term means one thing. It's subject to a whole lot of other interpretations, understandably, Mattis said. I said, talk in terms people understand. It's their country. It's their border. He said the same thing drove DOD to call the mission Border Support and drop the operational name, Faithful Patriot. Quote, I do not want to put this mission in some arcane military terms of what we're doing is laying wire. I want to talk to the American people because this is a highly political, visible issue. Mattis defended the deployment, calling it a moral and ethical mission. That he was asked about 1916 deployment of the U.S. Army to capture Mexican revolutionary Pancho Villa after his forces invaded the U.S. and captured Columbus, New Mexico. Quote, there is nothing new under the sun, Mattis said. President Wilson, a little over 100 years ago, also deployed the U.S. Army to the southwest border. The threat then was Pancho Villa's troops. Mattis told reporters that there are now 5,900 troops deployed and that DHS's initial request for forces and barrier buildup of concertina wire and jersey walls would be completed in 7 to 10 days. Later in the visit, as he walked through the camp with Secretary Nielsen, he told Homeland Security Chief, I think there's more additional requests coming in respect to additional concertina wire to create a more bolstered barrier against mass numbers of migrants who attempt to cross into the United States. So immigration in the news as well. President picks a former head of CENTCOM to be ambassador to Saudi Arabia, retired U.S. Army General John Abizaid. It's going to be, or at least is being nominated to be the United States ambassador to Saudi Arabia, somebody with lots and lots of experience. However, the marquee story yesterday is, and I touched on it a little bit yesterday, but America's military superiority has eroded to a dangerous degree, leaving the U.S. in a crisis of national security, especially if it faced more than one conflict at once. So I talked about this yesterday. I just want to say this. Bipartisan commission chartered by Congress to take a look at these subjects. Okay. We'll delve into the report and what the report says specifically next week. All right. What areas that the report says are very dangerous. It's a huge report, and what it says is important. Final story from Marine Corps Times: Madison Polish leaders talk about the possibility of Fort Trump. The Poles, man, they've been screaming for the United States military for years. You don't need to be in Germany. They don't like you. They won't defend themselves. Come to Poland. Poland Secretary of Defense met with his Polish counterpart, Mirzek Baszak, Tuesday to discuss Poland's offer to spend $2 billion on a permanent base for U.S. troops and their families in the country. The base was jokingly called Fort Trump by Poland's president after meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump. Quote, we are working out the details on what this offer is, what can best contribute to alliance unity, to alliance security, and to the continued strengthening of the bilateral relationship, Mattis told the press prior to his talks. Mattis also praised the Polish government for meeting NATO's defense spending commitments prior to heading into discussions with other Pentagon officials to discuss the potential base. The Poles, you know what the Poles know? Hey, as long as they don't have a physical presence in our country, they can leave us in the dust. Once they're here, the Americans tend to stay. And we'll roll out the red carpet and the Polish food. Yeah, we'll do all of that. All right, so write it down. A crisis of national security. We'll take a look at that next week. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, a female soldier has made it through Army Special Forces selection. So congratulations to her. She has completed the initial Special Forces accession and selection process. Special Operations Command said in a press release. Several women have attempted the 24-day program, part of the Special Forces Qualification Corps, since then, but none have made it to the next round. Quote, we're proud of all the candidates who attended and were selected to continue in the qualification course in hopes of earning their Green Beret. They don't release names. Now, again, it's one thing to make it through the physical stuff, and then you have to go through all the other stuff. So months ago, there was a female Marine that made it through the physical part of it, yet was not selected. So film 9/11. Number two, court forces VA to reveal extent of veterans' contamination in Spanish nuclear disaster. This happened in 1966. Like, what's the point of the secret? Like, what's the point of the VA keeping that a secret? People might find out, and then what? Get the treatment they need? I don't get it. Number three, Mattis, troops to stop using the term secure at border locations. We're laying wire. That's what we're doing. We're not doing a whole lot else. All right. Number four, Israeli defense minister resigns over Gaza ceasefire deal. Talked about that a little bit, but thought the Israelis sold out. Right? So Israeli defense minister, right? That's like the Secretary of Defense resigning. It's like Mattis resigning over something. Avigdor Lieberman, A-V-I-G-D-O-R. I don't think the G is pronounced very much so. Avigdor. Although American mouths tend not to be able to pronounce stuff like that. Abruptly resigned his post on Wednesday in protest over a ceasefire reached with Gaza militants. Did you see the number of rockets that got fired into Israel? Yeah, by the hundreds. That's what's encroaching. Number five, Marine vet van from Disney World. I say, look, the guy's his own publicity machine. Okay, Disney has every right to ban him. Quit writing headlines. Made me read, though. Made me read. So I guess it was successful. All right, that's a look at, let me just see if there's any more Marine Corps stories. There's a shit story about a Marine that murdered his wife following the Marine Corps birthday ball in Crystal City. I saw it last week. It's making Marine Corps times now. It's just a horrible story. There's another story about a Marine Corps recruit losing 150 pounds in 8 months. Whoa! He's in Mankato, Minnesota. Do I know this dude? Did I meet him? In March, Tyler Nelson walked into the Marine recruiting station in Mankato, Minnesota, with a dream of becoming a United States Marine. But weighing in at nearly 367 pounds, Nelson was well over the maximum allowable weight of 246. He needed to ship to recruit training. Over the course of the next 8 months, Nelson's drive and motivation for the chance to earn the title of Marine pushed him to shed almost 150 pounds. Now weighing in at 220, Nelson is slated to ship to the recruit depot in San Diego on December 10th, where he will stand on the yellow footprints that will herald his entry and official transformation to becoming a Marine. For nearly 4.5 months, Nelson said he would eat the same meals every single day. For breakfast, 3 eggs, a banana, and an English muffin, followed by a snack of 28 grams of unsalted almonds. Lunch consisted of 6 ounces of lemon peppered chicken, a half a cup of rice, 1 cup of broccoli and carrots, followed by 28 grams of unsalted almonds. His dinner meal was the same as that he ate for lunch. The workout routine would consist of running, bicycling, and core and strength training. How about that? Tyler Nelson. I met a kid who was shipping that looks a little bit like him. I don't know if it's him, though. Can you imagine that? That's awesome. What a great story. Hopefully it leads to great things. Hopefully it leads to great things. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear the decision, the role of leaders on the battlefield. So don't touch that dial. You're going to hear a little bit of history coming up next on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.